Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Games Jobs Direct podcast. My name is Abby Dickinson, and I am the marketing manager at Games Jobs Direct. In this month's episode, I sat down and chatted, over Skype, to Marina Ivanovic, head of recruitment at Calibri Games in Berlin. No offence to any of the other amazing people I've recorded with, but this might be one of my favourite episodes. And it's only about 80% to do with the fact that Marina said I had a great podcast voice. In this episode, we cover what it's like to work in the fantastic Calibri Games studio, how passionate and incredible games industry is as a whole, as well as the role of acceptance, diversity, and being who you are in the studio and the rest of the world. We obviously also cover the hiring practices and studio culture as usual. This conversation covered a lot. Enjoy! Can you explain a little bit about what your role is at Calibri Games?
Sure. So I'm head of recruitment. I'm here at Calibri Games and I'm leading the recruiting department. In a nutshell, apart from people management, my role focuses primarily on defining structures and processes to maximize our hiring efficiency and pretty much get more brand exposure. So I work on projects related to candidate experience, employer branding, diversity hiring. I would hold hiring workshops, trainings internally, just so that we can make sure that every candidate can go through a fair recruiting process and get a great experience when interviewing with us.
Okay, that's excellent. How many people are in your team?
So we are a team of two. There's another recruiter, and my colleague Sylvia. So yeah, the two of us.
Oh, so a lot of work just for two of you then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I would say so. It also depends on, there are these in recruiting, usually what we call the hiring seasons, when hiring just picks up and then there's more work and less time to work on processes. But then when things slow down there is much more work to be done when it comes to structures, which is also quite fun because then we can see that materialize when hiring picks up again.
Cool, that's perfect. Okay, so as being head of recruitment, what does your typical day-to-day look like? Or even if you have a typical day-to-day, of course.
So I believe recruiting is one of these functions where most of the time no 2 days are the same. And honestly, it's partly the reason why I'm in recruitment. There's something new happening almost every day. My day-to-day consistency would mostly refer to iterating on our current processes and analyzing them against what we used to do before. So comparing them to how we used to do things before and how we can improve and try to continuously find new ways to stay innovative and as competitive as possible as an employer.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And when you're looking at iterating on that, do you kind of get a lot of communication internally about that? Or do you get feedback from like new hires or people who have obviously gone through the process quite recently?
So we try to do a little bit of everything or a bit of both, mostly because people internally or people who have joined the company have already an idea of what is it exactly during the process that made them feel like, okay, this may be the right place for me. So we try to understand at which stage of the process they already knew that they would like to be part of the company. And then on the other hand, we also try to take advantage of all the people that went through the process, but never made it, sadly. So we have a candidate experience survey that we send out to all the people who have reached quite late stages of the hiring process. And then we pretty much ask them what they felt about certain aspects of the process, how they felt about the people who interviewed them. Is there anything that, in their opinion, would have made them feel more comfortable or better about the whole process?
Oh, that's brilliant. That's so nice that you're actually asking people who haven't actually got to the end of the process, still finding out sort of what their experience was like. Because I imagine for some studios, I suppose it depends on the outlook you got from it, but putting that extra effort into finding out people who didn't even make it into your studio, that must actually be really interesting.
Yes, at first when we rolled it out, it was something that I would say could have been quite intimidating because, at that time when we started doing this, there was a lot of feedback from people on the things that they maybe would have preferred to have been different on their end. There was a lot of praise, of course, but we really took that feedback very seriously. We started doing monthly survey reports where we would define action points. And then we would, of course, talk to all the people internally who had open positions and who could actually influence this change right away. And literally the next month, we would see the results. The results that we got were much better than the month before, just by tweaking one or two things. And this is something that I would say significantly improved our candidate experience, definitely.
How did you get into the games industry?
I've always been a huge gamer. And until only a few years ago, gaming has been something that was so purely personal for me. I never really thought of professionally being part of the industry until I actually got the opportunity to join a recruiting agency a few years ago that specialized in recruiting for IT and iGaming startups. And that's when I understood, started understanding actually how games are made and what happens sort of behind closed doors. I got a little bit of insight into these things that I felt as a player, I never, of course, I could never learn about or I could never hear about. But on the other hand, I never felt that I was so curious about it either. This, for me, sort of changed completely the way I looked at games after that. And it suddenly made all the sense in the world that I became part of the industry. And it kind of hit me, you know, I should have done this much earlier. This whole experience of starting in games deepened not only my knowledge of the industry and games, but it actually changed my whole gaming experience too. And it was after this experience that I realized, okay, this is the right place for me. I would love to see what else I can find out, what else I can experience now, both as a player, but as a professional in games too.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about it as well. So I've been doing this job for about a year. I've always been a massive gamer as well. And I like marketing. I feel like I'm good at it. So that's why I kind of started doing this stuff. And I went, wouldn't it be cool if I could do it for video games? And I thought I knew everything about games. I was like, yeah, I'm a gamer. I've got all the platforms. I sit and do that every weekend. And then I actually started at the job and I started speaking to people on the other side of it who actually are creating the games and creating these experiences. And I was like, I knew nothing. This is incredible.
Exactly how I felt.
Yeah, and it's so cool to actually be able to speak to those people like every day, and they're all ridiculously passionate, and I'm just like, yep, this is it. I definitely have found the right industry. This will do.
That's the thing. I had no idea how passionate people are who work in games, you know, how, and then it also made sense to me because it's coming from such a personal place. Trying to work on something that you have been in a way part of usually since childhood, for many people, since your childhood, it's something that incredibly motivates people and keeps people sort of self-motivated without having to have anything from the side. Just this sort of desire to make it work because you feel like you are part of it personally and professionally is strong enough to make people create amazing stuff.
Okay, so next question. How long have you been at Calibri and how did you come to join the studio?
So next month I'm celebrating my 1 year anniversary here. So, great. Yay. Well, while working in the recruiting agency that I mentioned before, I realized that my biggest satisfaction when it comes to recruiting was actually not only, of course, attracting and hiring people, but also seeing them grow in these positions that I would find for them and understanding how they've assimilated into the culture and maybe what kind of challenges they're facing. And this is something that for agency recruiters is quite hard to experience. So I decided, okay, my next step would be moving into more of an internal recruiting position, and I would love to stay in games. And I decided to move to Berlin together with my wife. So it was kind of quite narrow already. Berlin, gaming, internal recruitment. I didn't really have such a wide pool of choices. And then I came across this, you know, young studio with extremely passionate people who were united by this goal to become the most player-centric company in the world, which was Calibri Games. And I got the chance to meet one of our CEOs who gave me a lot of insight into the power of our community and how this very humane approach of taking care of people first was the key to Calibri Games' success. And this is something that really strongly resonated with me and who I am. And I could totally imagine myself being part of the company mission and being proud to represent what these guys stand for. And that's pretty much how I found myself here.
That's amazing. So even though you felt like you were throwing the net so narrowly, you still found someone who really aligned with your values. That is kismet, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I was really determined to wait until I find the right thing. It was really important for me to join a company whose set of values I would be proud to represent. And I promised myself that I was not going to make a rush decision and that I was really going to wait for something that's going to make me feel proud. And I found it and I'm still here and I'm really, really happy that I made this move.
Oh, excellent. And you got your 1 year anniversary coming up. Have you got anything planned? Are you bringing in cake?
I mean, you caught me, recorded now, so I'll have to probably bring something.
Well, this will go out after your 1 year anniversary, so it's fine. It's like if you haven't done it by then, it won't matter.
People will still ask for it. What we do have actually is like we have these super cute, obviously, in our all hands, everyone who celebrates their yearly anniversaries comes up in the all hands presentation. So I'll definitely be there. And then we have these little tiny figures that we get with our game characters, and they have different colors like bronze, silver, and gold, depending on how many years you've been with the company. So I'm getting one of these in a few weeks and I'm really excited. It's symbolic, but it means a lot.
Do you have a career highlight?
I do. One thing that I'm really proud of is bringing recruitment as a function closer to everyone at Colibri Games. So when I initially joined the company, there was no recruiting department in place. We only had two outsourced recruiters who worked remotely from the UK. So this, in a way, really made people feel like recruiting is an alien planet living and existing somewhere on its own. And it totally discouraged them from feeling the ownership of their hiring needs and expectations. And once we got an in-house team, my first mission was changing the way recruiting was perceived internally and trying to present to people how everyone could benefit from a more effective recruiting process. So this whole process for me was a huge learning for everyone else as well. And I'm really happy to say that people were so open to learning more about it, even though it really felt like, you know, this is something that could exist purely on its own out there and they would never have to dedicate any time to it. And things such as standardizing our recruiting processes, working on our best hiring practices, tackling the awareness of bias, the importance of diversity, these are all the topics that we covered in such a short amount of time. And it is truly because people were open to know more about it. We are now at the stage when we have hiring managers who actually actively look for talent themselves without our help. So they get themselves sourcing accounts and they do active outreach. They really truly take full ownership of their hiring needs. And for me, as a former agency recruiter and sort of knowing how it looks like to work with hiring managers inside and out, it is really a huge step forward in terms of where we were just a year ago. This is something that I'm really proud of.
Yeah, you definitely should be. That sounds amazing. There's so many studios that I've spoken to, obviously, who don't necessarily have that sort of internal recruitment function. And I think it's putting that emphasis on it and realizing how important that is for getting the right people in, making sure you're looking in the right places, keeping an eye on diversity, that sort of thing. It's like all of that can actually be handled by a recruitment team if it's done properly. Amazing. Like, well done. To have done that in a year is quite impressive.
Thank you.
What has been your favorite project you've worked on or that the studio has worked on?
This has definitely been revamping our careers page and making it much more candidate-centric. So we went through this phase of tremendous growth right before I joined, and it was still happening when I joined. There was a huge need to fix the low-hanging fruits and fasten the processes just so that we could fulfill our hiring needs as soon as possible. And once this phase slowly calmed down a bit, we started exploring ways in which we could strengthen our employer branding and present the highlights of our amazing culture, show people what we can offer and why they should work for us. So we started with mapping out our candidate journey, looking into how people interact with our careers page, what they would appreciate to see more of, And we created more content focusing on what we can offer to people and what our company culture is like. What we wanted to avoid is falling into this very common trap of showing only what we want to see in people who apply to work with us, instead of also telling people what is it, what's in it for them. So we used various tools to improve our job description writing to make sure that we're not using the standard stereotypically male gendered language that may be off-putting for applicants who come from different backgrounds, so women, and all this resulted in attracting a much more diverse candidate pool and in us interviewing people who already felt like they could understand what we are all about and how we could fit into their career plans and their expectations of what they would like to see in their future employer. So this is one thing that, you know, now lives fully online. It's fully up, and we're still, of course, tweaking it here and there. We're still observing how people interact with it. But it's one thing that I think has drastically changed the way people perceive us and the way people feel about us as an employer. And I'm really happy that we got to do this.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. It's absolutely music to my ears when I hear people actually thinking about their job descriptions and things like that with male-centered language and making sure they're attracting a diverse set of people. It's just, it's great when people actually think about it. It's so nice to hear.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's something that's so easily overlooked because, you know, it's quite easy to just say, well, the job post is out there and it's easy for people to read it. And if they find themselves in it, then they apply. If they don't, then they don't. And in theory, yes, that's how it should work. But I'm sure that, you know, these statistics that go around the internet where men would apply for jobs that where their qualifications fit what's written, like 50%, and women would only apply if they fit like 90% of what's in the job description. And of course, if job descriptions are not written with this in mind, because this is also part of our unconscious biases and the way we see things beyond our conscious selves, then of course, there's a huge portion of the talent pool that we are not catering for. And therefore, this is going to affect not only the people we interview, but the people that we hire, the people that we promote. It's like a chain reaction that could all start with just this tiny little oversight of relying that people know best what they want.
I mean, that's basically what I wanted to do with these podcasts. I think that it's so easy to talk to studios about the games that they make and that sort of thing. But when you're actually trying to sell the studio and the culture and what it's actually like to work there, it's important to have those sort of resources. So that's why I wanted to do this podcast and why I think it's a good idea and why I'm very glad that you're doing it.
I totally agree. And I was really happy. You know, I thought about who would be the right person to have this chat with you? And then I realized, actually, yes, all the talks that I find online when it comes to gaming are about how awesome the games are. And don't get me wrong, we have great games, but that's ultimately not what sells the employer, maybe not fully. Unless you are a AAA company, then yeah, sure. You don't need to talk about anything else. You don't need to have a super polished website, but the competition is fierce. And I think we have a lot to offer. And if we don't showcase that, then we cannot really expect people to just, you know, rush to work for us. It just doesn't happen that way, sadly.
Okay, so my next question, if you were to do another role in the studio, it doesn't have to be anything you're actually good at, just something you think is quite interesting or cool, what would it be?
I would definitely love to experience what it means to develop games hands-on. So I'd probably be a Unity developer. We have a coding mentorship program internally where our developers or just techies in the company share their knowledge with people who want to learn how to code and how games are made. So these are usually weekly one-on-one sessions, and they have been a huge success internally for us. And they've really enabled non-tech people or people who don't know how to code, like myself, to learn exactly what is it that we do, how we make our games or how games are made in general, and what's necessary to sort of get a person to become a games developer. And I believe this is something very unique. I've never experienced this before, that people are so kind enough to, you know, do this after hours and share the knowledge that they have with someone who's, you know, not going to know at the beginning anything about what they're talking about. So I'd like to give a huge shout out to my coding mentor, Ruben, for sticking out with me. And I do have to say that he's probably part of the reason why I, you know, have gotten much more into understanding exactly how we are doing what we're doing.
No, that's excellent. That's such a good idea, because obviously I've heard about it in different companies when they have like knowledge shares and things like that, but actually having sit down one-on-one sessions, I mean, that's incredible. That's such a good perk.
It is really incredible, because these can take hours, honestly, and my sessions have taken hours, just because people, again, going back to what we talked about at the beginning, people are so passionate about doing this. They're so passionate about making products, making games that they play themselves, that they go home and play, that, you know, people are so proud to be doing this work. And that's so obvious with something like this, where people are so selfless about the things that they have learned.
That's incredible. Do you see quite a big uptake on people wanting to do those one-on-one coding sessions?
Definitely. I think we have at least 4 or 5 different mentors now who would meet different people throughout the week. And it's also quite flexible. Sometimes I would meet my mentor during lunch. So we're really trying to make it work. And I feel that as long as, you know, both sides are interested and contributing from their end, these are totally happening every single week, and it's awesome.
That sounds awesome. I'm so jealous. That sounds amazing. That's so good. Okay, so if you weren't in the games industry, what do you think you'd be doing?
I'm really curious about technology in general, especially emerging technologies. So I think I'd probably be exploring blockchain more and Internet of Things, as I'm really curious about what the future holds there. I had the chance to work with a few blockchain startups before. It's been really refreshing for me, just being in touch with the latest technologies, talking to people, hiring people who make all of this happen. It has been incredibly rewarding and humbling. I do, however, enjoy being in games. I think the industry grew a lot in the past years and continues growing rapidly. I'm excited about seeing more women in games, more women in leadership, more women in executive level positions. I'm excited to be part of that change. Therefore, I'm still so happily in games, because I think that we have such a long road ahead of us where we could change things and influence things. And now it's the right time, in my opinion, even though I feel that this change can never come fast enough. Yeah. But I believe you are a member of this lovely organization called Women in Games.
I am, yes.
I'd love to use this opportunity to highlight how awesome this community is, in my opinion, and how empowering it is. And for all of you ladies out there who feel like you need a bit of a boost, or you just want to know that you're not alone, please check it out. I think this is something that is going to make this industry much better and walk towards equality faster by, you know, having awesome women as role models and just being there for each other.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love just sitting and reading through the forums and chatting to other people who do it. I think in a lot of ways, the games industry is a real baby. It hasn't been around that long, but neither has any tech industry really. And I think that, like you were saying, it seems like there's lots of steps there and there's lots of initiatives out there to try and get more representation in the industry as a whole. It's not just white guys. It's like, you know, it's proven that over and over again, that there are people out there who want to get in the industry, and anything we can do to help them and shout about them and tell them how great they are and keep them around is massive positive from my point of view.
Exactly. I agree. And I think that the industry is really full of awesome people, really. Women, men, everyone is really, again, super passionate about being part of the industry and being there for personal and professional reasons. And this is why I think the change is going to happen and the change is coming. But as you said, it is a young industry. And for me, I just, you know, I like seeing things move fast, and I like believing that I can be a small individual who influences a much bigger change on a much bigger scale. And I'm excited to see where the industry is heading moving forward.
What is it that Calibri Games does best? I'm going to take a wild guess and say mobile games.
Maybe if you asked one of our product people or if you asked our founders, but I'm going to tell you people. What we are best at, I would say, is our love for people. And maybe, yes, I'm biased because I'm a people person. Yes, our mission is to be the most player-centric company in the games company in the world, as I mentioned. But at the core of that is truly our love for people. And that goes to our players, and that goes also for our employees. We're really investing in our players by listening to their feedback and trusting them. And we've also, in a very similar way, invested in our employees by fostering this inclusive environment where everyone is empowered to be their best self, bring their uniqueness to the table. And I think this is one of the crucial things that brought us where we are now, by having this trust and faith in people. I really think that compared to all the other companies that I've worked with, this is something that Kolibri Games does best.
So you are a mobile focused studio. You do primarily do mobile games. So when you're developing those, do you feel like it has its own unique challenges? Do you think it's easier or more difficult than creating games for the platforms?
I think that we are absolutely, of course, experiencing challenges that many other game studios and mobile game studios specifically are experiencing too. It's been challenging finding our way here, and it continues to be challenging for us to grow in the way we want to grow and to stay innovative, I would say. So this industry is known to be very competitive. Idle mobile gaming even further so nowadays. And the market has changed a lot since we were one of the pioneers when it comes to idle mobile games. This for us means that as mobile games are becoming better and more polished, we constantly need to look for ways to continue being even more innovative, to constantly be challenging ourselves. Not only ourselves as a game developer, but ourselves as an employer too. So this is not necessarily a bad thing, having to go through all of these hardships and challenges. I think it has challenged us in all the right ways to continue growing and be more agile, constantly to come up with ways to keep stepping up our game, rolling out projects, when it comes to product updates that continue making the games engaging, but also a few projects that I mentioned before, where we worked really hard to present ourselves better as an employer so that we can attract better and better talent that's going to make us becoming more creative and more innovative. So this is, I would say, the challenge now, to kind of marry these two things and get ahead of the market when it comes to both.
What is the culture like working at Kolibri Games?
If I had to describe our culture in one word, I would say collaborative. We value a lot the importance of working in teams and playing to each other's strengths. Our teams are organized in such a way to make the most out of every individual, which means that we have many cross-functional teams that create things together. So we would usually have a bunch of artists, developers, QA people sit together in the same room, what we call delivery teams, and work on one aspect of the game or one feature or one update. And because of this way of working, we value feedback and transparency a lot. We see it as a gift that we give and receive just as equally. We're also quite big on empowering people to grow and develop personally and professionally. We have a number of ways for people to get access to the role or industry relevant knowledge and give everyone the right support to drive their own growth. So we always constantly look into different ways in which we could improve our learning and development efforts and help guide people in the direction that they would like to continue growing and improving.
That sounds brilliant. To be fair, everything you say about the studio sounds brilliant. This is no problem. It's just going to be me going, wow, amazing, great, at the end of everything that you're saying.
there's always things to be improved. And this is something that Kolibri Games, even before we were Kolibri Games, when we were Fluffy Fairy Games back before moving to Berlin, things were constantly changing and moving. And back in the day when the company was much smaller, nobody was afraid to experiment with things, to break things, to scratch everything and start from the beginning. And I really think that this is the reason why we are still here and in such capacity, because no one was too proud to say, you know what, maybe this is no longer working because of a number of reasons that are usually in this market right now of external nature. So we need to start doing something completely new. Let's see how we can do that. And it's great working in such a culture, as challenging as that can be. It's great being able to put your ego aside in a way and say, okay, maybe we completely need to change something now, but it's for the better and we're going to stick through it, but better things are coming our way.
Yeah, definitely. I think that with culture, especially in studios, you can't really, I mean, especially when you're growing more than any other time, you can't really sit on your laurels and just be like, we have a great culture. The end is like, you have to keep looking at it and tweaking it and talking to people. And like you said, with that transparency and being able to communicate between teams and actually find out, you know, where the sticking points are and work on that, is, I think that's really important in a studio.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree.
What sort of work is done to help create and maintain this culture?
So we're constantly, as I mentioned, reevaluating our processes and how we do things. We keep growing. So that comes with bringing in new people who, as you mentioned, influence our culture. So we have to maintain this level of efficiency. We need to let go of being afraid to challenge one another. And we have to constantly find ways to grow together. We've been able to sustain such a way of working by fostering transparency and open-mindedness in everything that we do, pretty much. So we have over 25 nationalities, and it's really essential that everyone is able to switch perspectives in a way on the go and put themselves into someone else's shoes. We give people ownership to make choices and decisions that will empower them, but also people around them. And that comes with a certain level of responsibility. And we want people to understand that. And I'm really happy to say that we have a bunch of people who are not only enjoying such way of working, but have really found themselves work in such an environment best. When you are not afraid to be who you are, you're not afraid to speak up your mind, but you're also not too proud to give someone else the stage and sit and listen and learn how to learn just by doing that, by observing. And this is one of the ways that we managed to, even experiencing this hyper growth a couple of years ago, to maintain this culture of openness and fostering feedback among one another.
So, someone who's never been to your studio, me, mm-hmm. for example, how would you explain the work environment and atmosphere to someone?
I would say that we value openness and transparency a lot. People here are not afraid to speak their mind and be exactly. Our diverse backgrounds are exactly the reason why people feel very comfortable and understood here from the very beginning. And this is something that is there for every single person at Kolibri Games. You can be whoever you are, and there will always be something for everyone, from gaming lunches to painting lessons at the office to salsa classes during lunch. You will always find someone who will share your passion, or if they have never heard of it, they would be super curious to learn more about it. I think this is something that makes it such a fun place to be, because people have this genuine curiosity about things that they have never experienced before, or about people in general.
That's incredible. You have salsa classes at lunch.
Right? Incredible. I know. Great for burning your lunch.
Yes, definitely. No, I was just thinking about what we were saying before about games being such a passion business. It's almost like you're just surrounded by passionate and curious people. So they may not have heard about the thing that you absolutely love, but they just want to find out about it and start a class for it, like salsa dancing at lunch. That sounds like so much fun.
Exactly. I think it's really one of the privileges of being in this industry, that people have this immense amount of curiosity and this great desire to learn about things around them. And I'm really happy that we are surrounded by people who, you know, we have many people who are not gamers, people who in their functions don't need to play our games or don't need to know about every single update that we release. And those are some of the people who have initiated all of these different things that we have at the office. And that's the whole point of having this diverse culture that's full of empathy and that's there for one another. It's that you don't really need to be part of this gaming world as a gamer, you know, personally, but you can definitely understand the people around you because you want to be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and understand how they think, how they feel, and think about the ways in which everyone can be part of the same community. Or if not that, then what is it that other people do that you could joining other people in activities that they do, be it during lunch, be it after work. There's always something for everyone. And there are people around who will share your passion or will want to learn more about it. And I think that's really a great thing about all of us sort of feeling united in the company with one thing or with another.
That is so true. And it's so nice to have that kind of atmosphere where people are like that. That sounds so nice. Because like you were saying, you're not just because you all work in the games industry doesn't necessarily mean you're all totally obsessed with gaming outside of it. I mean, obviously, a large percentage of people probably will be because that's how people get into industries, especially a passion business like gaming, is they like gaming. So they join the games industry. But that's not necessarily the case with everybody. They might just have had enough of it at the end of the week and not want to then go spend their weekend playing more games. To have those options there and to have so many different people with so many different ideas is great.
Absolutely. And it's really important sometimes to have these people, in my opinion, who may criticize something about games or something about our games that may not be that close to them. And it's exactly these people that can bring in a very fresh perspective. Yes, maybe they will ask something that's quite trivial, but maybe they will help people who are so immersed in the product or in our games to see a completely different aspect of what we do. And I think that's really important. It's a really healthy environment.
Cool. Okay. So my next question, what is the best thing about working in Berlin?
So for me, it's about two things. One of them is the people and the other would be the super awesome startup scene. So when it comes to people, I would say Berlin is such a vibrant city with people who are totally open about exploring tradition, modern stuff. Combining them together, you can see anything in Berlin. And every single thing that you see, every kind of a person that you meet feels so good about being in their own skin. It's something that I've never gotten the chance to experience anywhere else. And then when it comes to the tech and startup scene, the great thing about the city is that everything here is so startup centric that you could literally just visit relevant events 5 times a week, and you would still feel like you're learning a lot, like you could spend another 10 years in the city and still feel like you haven't really explored everything when it comes to emerging technologies, new people coming into the city, new knowledge being brought here. And I think these two things combined, sort of people feeling great about who they are personally, and then having all this exposure to grow professionally, is something that makes the energy in this city so unique, I would say.
What is your favorite thing about Berlin as a city? Is a very similar question. I think probably what I was going for more there is like, what's your personal favorite thing? Is there a coffee shop that you adore or a museum you spend all weekends in? You can be as cultural as or as weird as you want.
I would say, I think on a personal level, Berlin is the first place where I have, as a person, as a human, felt total and absolute acceptance. So I've lived in the USA before, in Malta, in France. I come from Serbia. So I've changed places a lot. I've lived in Turkey. So Berlin is this place where for me, as an LGBT person, I am feeling safe and I'm feeling accepted. And that has always been my top priority. I'm sad to say that I haven't experienced that everywhere. We still live in such a world, but I believe that Berlin offers just that to people of all backgrounds, the safe place to let yourself be fully you. And then there's food. Food is awesome as well. Food is really amazing.
If those aren't selling points, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I think, there's a bit of this city gives something to everyone. There's something for every single person that comes here, no matter what that thing is for you, whatever floats your boat.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about some of the benefits and perks of working at Calibri Games, like the coding sessions and salsa dancing, which I now want to set up. So are there any others you want to talk about a bit?
Sure. We're quite big on personal and professional development and enabling people to grow and take ownership of their own development. So we offer a wide variety of learning tools and platforms, as well as a yearly bonus for learning and development, which people have used so far on workshops, conferences, various learning platforms, getting a certificate. So what we are trying to do with this is empower people to understand what is it that they want to get better at, and then us facilitating that for them and being able to support them when it comes to growing professionally and personally. So we, of course, give people ownership by offering flexibility in terms of office hours, doing home office so that everyone can find the rhythm that fits them best and their working style. We have a bunch of events, which I think are awesome, to help us all come closer together and have fun as teams, but also on a company level. So we have weekly Friday parties, birthday celebrations. We have a birthday party coming up. The company is celebrating 4 years this Friday.
Oh, wow.
So this would be awesome. You're invited. We'd love to have you. So we have summer parties, and we, of course, have our well-known yearly holiday where the whole company goes away for a few days. Last year, we went to Greece, and the year before that, we went to Tenerife. That's quite awesome. We also love working with agencies who help us support people who are relocating here so that we can give people the sort of the smoothest possible experience coming to a completely new country, very often moving with their family. Myself, someone who's moved so often in the past 4 or 5 years, this is something that is really, really important, in my opinion, for people who've never been here and who probably have this sort of anxiety when it comes to coming to a completely new place. So we work with agencies to help that happen. We also offer German classes for people who want to just become part of the culture a little bit easier. And I think this would pretty much be the summary of the most important ones. Yeah.
What do you look for in potential new hires for Calibri Games?
So I already talked a lot about what kind of people we have in the company and who we are in general as a company in terms of people. What I would say when it comes to explaining this to people who may be interested in joining, I would say we value a lot the importance of our team culture and people who believe in the power of teams and reaching goals together. So this is something that's really, really important for us. We also love people who are passionate about building games that change people's lives. So having this passion for gaming in general is something that we love to see, just because this is what we do and this is what we're passionate about. We also love people who see themselves continuing to grow professionally and who love being exposed to an environment that's going to be challenging in that way that, you know, we work in a very competitive market, and that really makes us constantly look into things with different eyes and trying to explore different things that may work. And this requires people to also continue growing with the company. And it can, if people are interested in something like this, it can get really exciting, both for the people and for the company. And we really do our best to empower people and enable them to grow in the direction that they want to grow. So I would say this is what how I would explain what we look for people when we hire.
How would you describe your application and interview process?
So we aim to, when it comes to the purpose of our interviewing process, we aim to give both ourselves and the candidates the opportunity to get to know Calibri Games. So for us to get to know the candidate, of course, and for the candidate to get to know us inside and out. And to accomplish that, we have an extra step in the process where, other than the standard interviewing process that I'm not going to talk about much, the one with recruiters and hiring managers, we also have people join us in the studio for a full working day or 2 days. So these days are called trial days, and they are a great opportunity for the candidate to sit in our main office room, to work on the tasks that they would work on if they were to join the company, meet their teammates or meet their whole team, their supervisor, of course, but also meet other people in the company. So for us, it's an opportunity to see how this person would fit into the company and how their skills meet what we are after at that time. And these days are structured in such a way to give people exposure to the entire company. So we would take people for lunch on both days. We would have colibris from the company join them, other people from other teams, so that they get to know a little bit of our culture in an environment where it may not be, you know, that threatening for them to express their opinions. So it would be a very casual conversation over lunch on what they've observed so far about the company, and also a great opportunity for them to ask more questions about how we work. We would very often have them meet one of our founders during the day and just grab a very quick coffee and hear a little bit about our story from them, which I think is quite awesome. And we try to set out this time for every single person that comes to the studio. We've had weeks when we've had over 10 people, and we're really dedicated to making this whole process work almost since its very beginning. These 2 days I've also spent in the company when I was applying. It's stressful. Those were definitely not the two easiest days of my life, but it truly is a unique opportunity to get to know us and build an understanding of what is it exactly that we offer as a company, as people. And I find this very hard to happen in a standard interviewing experience without having these extra 2 days to get fully immersed into the company's culture.
It's one thing to have a look at someone's portfolio or CV, or even to have a really extended conversation with them to get an idea about the company and their skills and what you want from it and that sort of thing. So getting people into a studio and getting them to actually sit with their potential teammates, I mean, it's as much a fact-finding mission for both of you. I mean, that's probably mm-hmm. what you have to keep reminding people in interviews. It's like, we're not here assessing every single minute little thing that you do. It's like, you need to check that you want to work here as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good way of going about it. It's quite unique as well, actually. I don't think I've heard of anyone else doing anything that I'd say intense. I suppose 2 days can be a bit intense.
Definitely, yes. And it's not easy. You know, people have to find a way to fit this into their working life as well, because most of the people that do come for these days are working individuals themselves. But the feedback that we've gotten from this so far, and then again, we do send a candidate survey to people who came and weren't hired, is that they were nevertheless really grateful to have had the opportunity to join us and see what we are all about and really sit and work next to someone who may, you know, in a couple of weeks become their colleague. And I think that's incredibly insightful for people and much appreciated.
Yeah, very valuable opportunity that you mm-hmm. see later on when you've got over the stress.
Definitely. When the adrenaline has gone down, you learn how to appreciate it. During exactly. those 2 days, you know, probably send a survey a little bit after.
Yes,
so that people can, you know, have enough time to process their thoughts. It really is. It can get stressful, definitely.
Yeah. What do you like to see from an applicant? Like, what sort of thing gets your attention?
So we love seeing people try out our games. And I said it already, we have people in the company who would not call themselves gamers. That's totally fine. So when I say try out, I don't mean, crack the whole game in 2 days. But I mean, see exactly what is this product that we are all about. So what is it that we do? What is it that we make? Would someone be proud to work for us? Would they identify with our set of values? So this may sometimes sound trivial or even obvious for certain positions that, you know, people should try out the games. But the truth is, we get so many applications from people who don't know our products or what we do or how we do it or even what kind of games we make. And even though having played our games is not a prerequisite for many roles outside, of course, of the product teams, it's important for us, for people to understand how we've grown, in which way, what is it that we have done to be where we are today, and to be able to see the importance of this mission of ours to put our players first and how important that is to us. This is definitely one of the things that's unrelated to, you know, technical knowledge or job competencies that can help people in their application the most, I would say.
It almost seems daft to say it, doesn't it? That you try out the game for the company you're going for. It's like, know the company, know what they do, what they make. But sometimes it needs saying.
Yes, I know. And we sometimes, I think with emails acknowledging applications before, that used to invite people to try our games out. We were, of course, much smaller back then. So it was kind of a little bit pretentious expecting from people to already know everything about us. But I feel that now with the power of internet, and we are a free-to-play studio, yeah. You know, so there is, in a way, there's no excuse for people not giving it a shot. Because like you said before, it's not only about us assessing people, it's about people assessing us back and trying to understand if this is the right place for them. And if someone, the first sign for me that someone would may not really be that certain about wanting to work for us specifically is when they wouldn't really bother to understand what kind of products we make.
Yep, completely agree. And to be fair, haven't you got like one of the biggest mobile titles ever now? I feel like they should know which one it is.
True. So I would say if there's one thing that you're going to take away, whoever's listening, if you're going to take away one thing from this podcast, it is try out the games. Not for us, but for you. Make sure that we would be the right place for you and that you'd be proud to represent a company that makes games like that.
A new person joining the studio, what is the one bit of advice you'd give them?
I would say ask as many questions as you want or can, and don't be afraid to approach people. One of the things that we hear the most often from people who come for trial days and do the candidate survey afterwards is how surprised they were by people approaching them around the office and asking about their day, like having these super short power conversations, just random people from the office approaching them and asking them how they're doing. I think this is a great way to explain our culture. We love socializing. We love getting to know people. We're super curious about new people at the office. We're not that big that people would notice a new face. So I would say definitely take advantage of that. It will help you assimilate easier. It will help you understand the culture faster. Everyone is super friendly. Just go for it.
Final question. What does the future look like for Calibri Games?
I would love to know. So you've probably heard that we recently joined the Ubisoft family. Super exciting. I'm really excited. I'm thrilled for us to be part of such an important player in the gaming industry. I mean, Ubisoft is iconic and we're really, really proud to be part of the family. This acquisition for us is an opportunity to learn more about how we can continue growing, how we can continue making games that people would love to play. And we'd definitely like to continue exploring the idle market more, working on more games potentially, and seeing what the next exciting thing we can come up with would be. And I think now more than ever, this was definitely what be written in the stars for us even before the acquisition. But I think that now we are really super excited about getting access to more wisdom and knowledge that Ubisoft has and trying to find a way to accommodate that to our culture and our approach to game making and then seeing what's going to come out of that. So I'm super excited.
That's very exciting. That could be a big shift, but I imagine it can only be exciting. They like you were saying, they're a powerhouse. They're all over the world. They know their stuff, so it can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. I agree. Super exciting times coming for us.
Brilliant. Right. That's all my questions.
Thank you for listening to the Games Jobs Direct podcast. This episode was recorded, produced, and edited by me, Abby Dickinson. For any questions, comments, or suggestions, or if your studio would like to get involved in a future episode, send an email to Abby, that's ABBIE, at gamesjobsdirect.com. Special thanks this episode goes to Marina Ivanovic for letting me talk her ear off for way more than the hour we had planned. To find all of Calibri Games' current vacancies, head to calibrigames.com/career or check out gamesjobsdirect.com. You can follow Games Jobs Direct on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn and Instagram. Our handle is @GamesJobsDirect. The music in this episode is from Incompetech by Kevin McLeod. To find out more, head to incompetech.com. Next month, I'll be talking to London-based football manager creators Sports Interactive. We'll be back in June with our next episode. Thanks for listening.